Okay, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sherry and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, December 3rd, and today we are reading from the Big Book, Chapter 7, and we are at page 103, the second paragraph. Today's readers are Laura W., Jordan L., and Christina J. The reference number for Thursday, December 2nd, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 18,175, and the reference number for Friday, December 3rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard meeting is 18,182. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Linda B. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Thank you, Sherry. My name is Linda B. I am a recovering compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for this opportunity to be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Linda. And I will now ask Christina M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I'll be timing everyone. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in chapter 7 on page 103, the second paragraph, Someday We Hope. And I will now ask Laura W. to begin reading.
Hi, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Someday we hope that Alcoholics Anonymous will help the public to a better realization of the gravity of the alcoholic problem, but we shall be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. Drinkers will not stand for it. After all, our problems were of our own making. Bottles were only a symbol. Besides, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to. Wow, this is a great end to a really powerful chapter. It talks about the gravity of the alcoholic problem. And we surely do have a grave disease. I mean, this is a life-threatening disease, just like alcoholism. However, if I go around, quote-unquote, carrying the message with an attitude of bitterness and hostility, what kind of example is that setting for not just me, but for OA as a whole, as an institution? You know, what am I saying about OA if I'm walking around white-knuckling it or getting angry if somebody's not abstinent? And, I'm supposed to be sponsoring them, or I'm saying you need to do this or you need to eat that. Why would they return? What would their reasoning be to come into the rooms of OA if they hear the message that's one of anger, bitterness, hostility? This book and these 12 steps not only have helped me recover, but it's helping me on a daily basis change into the person that God wants me to be. God doesn't need me to be walking around angry and trying to get my way all the time. My problems were of our own making, and that last little paragraph is in italics for a reason. They're saying, hey, pay attention here. This is important. We need you to remember that bottles were only a symbol. Food is just a symbol. I used food, and what I did with food and weight and exercise was a way to try to control my life. Something, things that felt out of control. What was one thing that I can control? Well, I thought I could control my food. However, today, at this point in the chapter, within working with others, I'm at step 12, and I have stopped fighting anybody or anything, even food. And that's important to remember, because it says we have to. What's our choice to be? You know, it's like how it says God either is or it isn't. What's my choice to be? Do I want to recover or don't, or do I want to die? Those are the alternatives. There's no real middle of the road solution here. I have to do the work if I want recovery. So it's a powerful end to a powerful chapter. I'm really looking forward to hearing what everybody else has to say. And I thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura W., for getting us started. Really appreciate it. And now we're going to open up the meeting to collect names of anybody who would like to share. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared, on Wednesday or Thursday on any Vision for You call, we ask that you step back and let other people share, and go ahead and start giving me your names, and I'll be writing them down.
Sherry KB.
Okay.
Elena C.
Cindy LS.
Roz G.
Cindy
Kathleen
LS.
O.
Okay, hang on 1 second, because I missed some in between, but I'll tell you who I have. I have Sherry KB, Elena C., Christina J. There was somebody next before Roz G.
Cindy L.S.
Okay, Cindy L.S., and then I have Roz G., and that's all I have so far.
Did you get Kathleen O?
No, I did not. Thank you. I heard Kathleen O, and then somebody just spoke over you, and who was that?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay. Was there anybody else that I missed on this first lineup that would like to put their name on? Otherwise, I'll get you on the second round. Okay. So just to repeat, here we go. We have Sherry KB, Elena C., Christina J., Cindy LS., Roz G., Kathleen O., and Jordan L. Go ahead and start, Sherry KB.
Good morning, Sherry. This is Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Sherry, and Team Friday and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. I'm just going to jump right in here. There's so much to this. We shall be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. Drinkers will not stand for it. You know, the whole idea that love, patience, and tolerance is our code, and kindness and understanding, that, you know, that is so important. That's our code from here on out. And thinking of based on attraction rather than promotion, too, is really important that we do that. I think about, because this is a chapter with working with others, and I always include God in everything that I do when I'm working with somebody. It's so important, and when I'm carrying the message and when I'm representing OA as a whole, I need to remember that wherever I go, whether it's in a meeting or it's at a convention or it's at anywhere, at a holiday party, I'm still representing, I'm a representative of OA and how I behave and treat other people, and especially with people that I work with dignity and respect. I need them as much as they need me. And that, you know, I need to be patient and kind and to remember that I've been there myself. Also, this part about, after all, our problems of our own making, bottles were only a symptom. Besides, we have to stop fighting anyone or anything. We have to. Because if I don't, I'll be back face down in the food. And not only not fighting other people, but stop fighting myself, too. And I think of what they talk about on page 133 when it says, we are sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free, but it is clear that we made our own misery. God didn't do it. Avoid then the deliberate manufacture of misery, but if trouble comes, cheerfully capitalize it as an opportunity to demonstrate his omnipotence. So, you know, we get to work this program and live in 10, 11, and 12. And also, you know, with my higher power's help, I think on page 416 through 420 has some great reminders, you know, that this is a disease, it's not a moral issue, and how I treat people and how I treat myself. And 417, it talks about when I'm disturbed. That's a big one in there, about when I get disturbed, because usually it's of my own making, of how I expect other people to be. and how important it is for me that the level of my serenity is based on any expectations I have. The higher expectation, the lower serenity I have. And just about acceptance, you know, accepting people as they are and where they're at and being of maximum service. That's the whole idea. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry. And next up is Elena C.
Good morning, everyone. This is Elena C. from Recovered Compulsive Overeater from Greenville, South Carolina. So the first sentence, someday we hope that Alcoholics Anonymous will help the public to a better realization of the gravity of the alcoholic problem. I just love that because I think it's true today. I think as the society evolved after AA was born, the science brought into light the effect of alcohol on the brain and the human body. And a lot of centers are kind of, you know, using that scientific evidence to help the alcoholics. And a lot of centers do send people to AA. They understand that AA is the ultimate source, resource, community that will help alcoholics stay sober and spiritually fit. However, I don't think the OA is as our program is as understood as the AA, which is sad. You know, I don't think the sugar addiction and the other addiction, the food addiction, was as researched to my knowledge. And, you know, another thing in the first paragraph that stuck to me is, we shall be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. You know, I believe still the society is looking at addiction as a stigma, and they believe that people make choices, they choose addiction. Well, we don't choose addiction. Addiction chose us. Addiction, food addiction chose me. And as long as I had no idea that I had the allergy of the body, I was not making choices. I was just, my body was helpless. But then after I found out from this wonderful big book, The Allergy of the Body, that is applying to food just like the alcohol, then it started to be a choice for me. And, you know, the problems from that point on, my choices were our own making. The way I took care of myself was my own making. And food was just a solution, you know, before. But then food became a problem from that point on. You know, and the beautiful from the last paragraph, the beautiful choice and experience of surrender.
And that's time. Thank you, Lena. And we lost you. You cut out. So anyways, that was time. And now we're going to have Christina J. Go ahead, Christina.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of Washington. By the grace of God, I'm recovered today. Love the share so far. I feel these last three paragraphs are really asking us to check our egos each in time. Each and every time before we head out to work with others, to walk with humility when working with others or interacting with anyone in the world. The word hostility really got to me, which is defined as unfriendly or acts of war. I mean, acts of war. After suffering in this disease for so long, finally being humbled by doing the actions of the steps in this book, hostility towards my fellows seems so not right. Something I could never imagine engaging in. However, I can slip into this state when I gossip about others in program or their shares or how they work with their sponsees or gossip about anyone. This is an act of war on their character. Or if I get up on my bandstand of recovered superiority around a possible compulsive overeater, I'm trying to give them advice or trash their diet programs, their way of eating, or try to advise them on how to get their lives right with the program or God before they even know anything about the program because I have this now and I'm recovered. To me, this is an act of war on the way they're living their life at the moment. I'm chopping them down with my ego. It's not asking us to bring our bitterness, it's asking us not to bring our bitterness or resentments or intolerance of what other people do in their overeating or eating behaviors to any gathering or any interaction, because drinkers will not stand for it. They'll run away. I ran away from anyone telling me how to run my life or my eating. In my experience, even as I struggled in my relapses, nobody could tell me how not to relapse. Even the firm words I heard over and over, put the food down, did not work for me. It was only God who graced me with the willingness to admit defeat and walk away from the last binge I was about to dive into. I'd even smelled the damn thing, and I walked. God gave me the grace to walk away. What made me keep coming back? Friendliness, understanding, not hostility or bitterness, not the ego, the gentle hearts that kept guiding me back to the work, to the discovery that I was not loving and appreciating the lover of my soul as I was holding this source of power at arm's length, that I had to dance with him in my interactions, to surrender and ask for guidance from this lover, my friend, to take my fears and pain to him and make him my closest companion beyond all else. I discovered in 4 through 9 that my problems were of my own making. Not consciously, but unconsciously, through the years, as the resentments and fears twisted in me and turned into jealousy and envy and the feelings of failure. And that by cleaning these up, I could actually truthfully stop fighting anyone or anything, including food, as was so said earlier. Food was just a symbol of my pain. I wanted to shove my pain down with something sweet and seemingly lovely. Excuse me, I can't talk this morning because I'm so nervous. Seemingly loving. That just turned
gentle
into
reminder.
Thank you. That turned into a boomerang and all but cut me to shreds. My journey today is to carry the message. The book tells me I must carry the message, and if I don't do that, I'm sure to drink again. And I'm happy to do it today. I have to take this warning seriously. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Christina. Cindy L.S. is up next. Thanks, Cindy. Star 1 to unmute. Are you there, Cindy? Darwin.
Hi, this is Cindy. Hi, this is Cindy L.S. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I'm so blessed to be able to be on this meeting. I've had this epiphany or this thought for the past few weeks that everything is just like it's supposed to be. I used to get up in the morning and make a list of all my resentments and who I was angry at and who did wrong to me, and I became transformed without even knowing it. So that this morning and for the past week, I look up and I say, well, things are just like God intends them to be. And what speaks to me is that we shall be of little help if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. And so now when I look at what happens in the world, I mean, I have challenges and I have reasons to get disgusted or to have, I have medical conditions, I have this, I have that, but God has blessed me with so much. So I'm in New Jersey right now. God has blessed me with being able to buy a home last week in Alabama. And the way I see it is that nobody's out to do me wrong or bad. Things just happen, and that it's just living life on life's terms. So it feels like a big burden has been lifted off of my shoulder, living life on life's terms. You know, it's like if it rained, I wouldn't be angry at the rain because that would be a waste of time. So if something happens, it's just the way it's supposed to happen, and it feels so so much lighter. To have that attitude and so if I don't like what God dishes out or what's during that day, that's my problem, and so I feel blessed and I want to share it with you, and that's the message I want to carry. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Cindy L.S. And Roz G is up next.
Good morning. My position in the line kind of caught me, you know, walking into work. So, you know, there's some background noise. So I'll just make it quick if I can. I'm Roz. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And the very first sponsor I had pissed me off. And this is before any big book or anything like that. And so I went to my OA meeting and I started telling the other people in the meeting about how pissed off I was at my sponsor. And one of the experienced members said to me, "Looks like you need an attitude adjustment." And I was pissed at her for telling me that I needed an attitude adjustment. And boy, did I have a lot to learn about my attitude and my character defects and how they affected me. I had a lot to learn. And over the past couple of years, I've learned that, you know, I've been, jealousy and envy and pride have been the top three barriers to communication, to relationships in my life. And yes, being intolerant and mean and egotistical does not work in my life. It doesn't work in my, you know, when I enter the rooms, it doesn't work in my everyday life. It doesn't work on my job. And so God has worked with me, in me, through me, turned me into a kind, patient, loving, caring, generous, thoughtful, productive member of society, no matter where I am. And this doesn't happen naturally. I have to sit in meditation every morning and ask God, I need to be guided by the Holy Spirit every day. And, you know, I've had some challenges over the past couple of days, and I thank God I've done 10 steps with them, and nobody knows except for the people I did the 10th step with. And I'm just so grateful to have a good attitude today. All right. Thank God it's Friday. I'm going into work. Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Roz. Thank you so much. Kathleen, you're up next.
Thank you. Good morning, Sherry. Good morning, everyone on the line. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. When we work the 12 steps, we come to believe, we make a decision, and we take action. And who else better to work with another compulsive overeater and understand that person better than another compulsive overeater? This is the step that keeps me sane, working with others. The gravity of the alcoholic problem. Addiction is a serious problem. It destroys lives. It destroys families. And if I can offer experience, strength, and hope, and watch another compulsive overeater recover, well, there's nothing better than that. I feel like I have a responsibility to help others see that by working these steps, being happy, joyous, and free, it's giving up self-defeating behaviors. You know, it's giving up control, resentment, self-pity, dishonesty, fear. It's more than just being abstinent. Excuse me. And whatever we're powerless over, we can let go and let God direct our life. So the sentence, "But we shall be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility." You know, it's not my job to tell a sponsee what to eat, who to date, where to live, whether they should go to a party or not. It's true, drinkers will not stand for it. And I've seen many people leave program because of being told what to do. So telling someone what to do is a sure way, in my opinion, to get someone to run in the other direction. Most addicts don't like to be told what to do. My only job is to guide someone through these steps. And love and tolerance is our code. The 12 steps are a group of principles, spiritual in their nature. And if we practice them, we stay abstinent and we stay happy. We'll be peaceful and content. We're not going to want to eat all the sugar, flour, fat items that are all over the place this time of year. So step 12 is carrying a simple message of what works. And my job is to be a maximum helpfulness to others because I want everyone suffering from this deadly disease to have these promises, no longer fighting anyone or anything, including the food. That is a miracle. And when you get it, you'll be blown away. So when it comes to the 12 steps, practice, 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 and you will recover. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathleen. Oh, and before Jordan L. shares, I would like to let everybody know where we are so you can get ready for the next lineup after Jordan is done sharing. And we are on page 103, the second paragraph, "Someday We Hope."
those two paragraphs. So get ready to join the next lineup. And go ahead, Jordan L.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with other compulsive overeaters this morning. That's it, right? I'm on a meeting with other compulsive overeaters. This is my neutral zone. This is where I learned to be neutral. The 10-step promises talk about it in regards to food, and my alcoholic foods, especially. And so I kind of because of that, I sort of understand what neutrality looks like, to like approach something with neutrality, you know. Those foods, they're no longer harming me because I'm not ingesting them. and so they're just kind of like over there doing their thing, you know. And I'm over here doing my thing, and it's all good. Like, we can coexist without any more fighting. what's happened since I've stayed abstinent is like the same sort of thing. There's other aspects of my life that demand. The longer I stay abstinent and the more that I learn about, like, I don't know, I guess the spiritual side of life, the fourth dimension or the spiritual realm, where it is that I try to live on a daily basis these days, I start to understand that, like, neutrality is kind of the requirement for that. Like, that's how it is that I stay in this place where I'm not intolerant and I'm not bitter and I'm not hostile. I'm just sort of like curious and open to exploration and like going about my business, you know? I guess I have found that kind of attitude to be helpful and like practicing these principles in all of my affairs, and working with others, you know. I can't like steps 1, 2, and 3 are about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, right? And a sponsee is like I have to be the example of those things to the sponsee. I can't fake like honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And I can't talk about it without practicing it myself, you know. Otherwise, a sponsee is like, you're a hypocrite. I'm not going to listen to you, you know. So anyway, thank you for letting me share. That's all I got. I pass.
Thanks so much, Jordan L. And before we take a new lineup, I'd like to just remind everybody that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day, in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared Wednesday or Thursday, please wait till Monday. And who would like to go? I'm ready for the list.
This is Tom.
Leia S.
Tom
L.
Candy P.
Donna B.
Tom L.
Okay, I'm going to just repeat who I have. I had a little hard time hearing. So here's who I have so far. Tom L, Leia S, there was somebody G, I think Kim something D, and a Donna B?
Deborah G?
Deborah G.
Candy.
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 Okay. And then we have Donna B. So here, Tom L, Leia S, Deborah G, Candy P, Donna B. Did I miss anybody? All right, let's start with this lineup, and we'll see if we have time for more. Go ahead, Tom L, star one to unmute.
Hey, this is Tom L, Southern California. Great shares today.
especially about, you know, ego, and I can't see my ego. It just seems everything is cool with what I do. I'm always right, and you know, if you have a problem with it, there's something wrong with you. I just want to report what's happening. I came to a vision for you about 4 months ago when I got sober with food. I got a sponsor who was as sick as I am. I'm 100 pounder, and he has several years of recovery, and I was desperate. I was in so much trouble. And he spent every day with me, you know, about 20 minutes a day at 6 a.m. He always picked up his phone. He's a very, you know, he has a very intense personality, yet he was willing to listen to my troubles and to attempt to help me. And I was pretty far out there. 4 months later, I'm not obsessed with food. I don't know why. I've been 500 pounds in my life. I've been on disability. You know, I gave everything to food, and it gave less and less back. But right now I can eat my meals and it's fine. I'm after 4 months, I've worked through the steps. I've in the process of making amends. I'm doing 10 steps now with like printed sheets, talking to, I practice outreach calls a lot. I'm an isolator. This has been very strange. I'm now enjoying making outreach calls. And now I actually want to help people. This is the most bizarre miracle. My sponsor says, nope, you got to wait till 6 months. But, you know, I'm chomping at the bit. I really want to help people. He's probably right. You know, I got a lot of problems. And, you know, maybe my help is like more pointing towards getting a sponsor, pointing towards going to meetings and outreach calls. But I just want to report whatever this is in this book, which is what he followed and what we read through, it has made a big difference. And I also realize it is extremely fragile. You know, in a week, I could be back under the covers, you know, eating and watching TV and wishing I was not alive. I know that, it depends on what I do today. Anyway, I am very fond of all you for some reason, and just wanted to report what's going on. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Leah S., you're up next.
Hi, this is Deborah.
Thank you so much.
It's Leah is next, and then followed by Deborah. Go ahead, Leah.
Thank you very much. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. So this is a process. It really is a process, this book and the 12 steps. And I will be the first to admit in the beginning, when I started this program, abstinence was such a hard thing. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm able to go to parties. I'm able to have parties. I'm able to have stuff in my freezer over the summer and come back after the summer and open my freezer and say, it's time to clean out, and say, oh, my God, how old is this? And then just dump it. But that didn't come without the process. And the process means the 12 steps. So whichever stage I'm in, if I wasn't able to go to parties, I wasn't able to go to parties. You know why I wasn't able to go to parties? Because my life depends upon this program. I am a compulsive overeater, and this is a life and death matter. My sister died when she was 46 years old, just suddenly. Because of this disease, over a weekend. People go away for a weekend and then they come back. And she went away and didn't take a day, and she was dead. And I don't want to wait for rude awakenings. I don't want anyone to wait for rude awakenings. The rude awakening has to happen within me, within me. I work this program like my life is on the line. And thank you, God. You think that it's so rigid. It's not. It's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful life because I'm able to convert and converse with people that I didn't used to be able. They used to trigger me, my God. And it's just like, it's just like unbelievable. Yeah, the grandkids came, and before you knew it, they were all over the sweets, and they were having like a baseball fight with those candies. Get out of here. And it's not my business. I'm not their mother. Yeah, they're my grandkids, but I'm not their mother. How cool is that? That it's not my business. I truly felt it's not my business. And this program is just unbelievable. Thank you, God, that I belong to this one. I pass.
Thank you, Leah. And Deborah G., you're up next.
Hi, this is Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you so much, Sherry, for your service and all those that have made this meeting possible and all the shares. And sorry, I thought I had been next and then I couldn't hear Leah because when I was unmuting. And, you know, I really truly believe that Alcoholics Anonymous has really helped a lot of people and has brought a lot of awareness to people about the disease. And I'm learning and continually learning about separating the person from the disease. And then after going through the steps and learning about myself and what crops up for me in step 10 and my fourth step, is I need to really be aware of that and to love the person. I don't have to like the disease, but to love the person and be kind and considerate, patient, understanding, and compassionate. Do I at times get frustrated? Yes. Have I had to make an amends for frustration in my voice? Yes. But it's an ongoing process for me. Al-Anon's helped me a lot with that too. I was really in a place where it was really starting to bother me. And so that has been a good support. But yeah, and I'm learning. My sponsor reminds me just to meet people where they're at. I don't have to enable them. You know, I can say something, so I'm not enabling, but also meeting them where they're at, loving them where they're at, that great acceptance. And you know what I've found is when I do that, it either works with the step work or they decide not to do the step work. You know, I let them make that decision and decision with their food and decision with everything because I have no power with my own. Why would I have any power with theirs? You know, it's just a beautiful way, a beautiful alert, aware, and awake. Thank you.
Thanks, Deborah G. And now we're going to have Candy C. Go ahead, Candy. I think I got it right. I think it was a Candy star one, something P.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, okay. We can. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone who makes this meeting possible. I've been coming to this meeting now in October. It was a year. And I think this is probably, well, I know this is the first time I've ever shared. I am so grateful that I found a sponsor who was a vision person and who led me to vision. Because I've been in program since 2008, but I wasn't able to find a path to recovery until I got into vision. And the shares this morning were great. I've often said I wish that everyone had a 12-step program in their life. And this line that says, someday we hope that Alcoholics Anonymous will help the public. Well, I think at this point in society, many people, if not all, know that there is an Alcoholics Anonymous, but many don't know that there are meetings, whether it's vision or other meetings, to help people who eat compulsively, who restrain, who are bulimics, who are anorexics. And unfortunately, even those of us in recovery have a tendency to judge others. And I'm sponsoring someone now, not so much with her food, but with her steps, because she is trying very hard to recover from bulimia. I realize I have never suffered from bulimia, so I cannot judge her. I cannot give her advice with that, except to give her resources and to be grateful that she sees physicians and that she sees a therapist. But she was very upset last night, and I think rightly so, because she went to an AB meeting, asked a question, and the person running the meeting came across with a judgmental attitude. And I wasn't there, so I don't want to judge that person. But I think it's so important that we step back and say, thank you, God, you're helping me to recover. And I will love and non-judgmentally understand the next person and do whatever we can. Thank you very much for allowing me to share. And I hope you all have a blessed weekend.
Where are you from? We didn't get where you were from,
Candy. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm from Rockland County, New York.
From New York. Oh, we're very happy that you shared this morning. Thank you so much. And next is Donna B.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. I have been struggling with one of the vendors that I work with. And it's been, shockingly, it's been a couple of years. And with this vendor, I keep talking about quality improvement initiatives, working collaboratively, looking for root causes of what's causing the disruption, sort of approaching it with this very much like they are incompetent, they are incapable, but we made the decision as an organization to work with them. And through my efforts of relationship building and my experience in quality improvement initiatives, I'm going to make it work. And I have written infinite 10 steps on this organization. I won't say what the name of the organization is actually called, but my daughter cleverly changed the name to Piss in My Eye, which is not far from what the organization actually is called. So that's sort of the length to which my dissatisfaction with the organization has made its presence made in my home and in my life. I mean, I feel like anyone who knows me knows that for 14 years, I've been very happy with my job. And the last couple of years. Wow, that was so fast.
I'm so sorry. No, I didn't watch the time, Donna, and I had to cut it a little short. You go ahead and wrap up.
Okay, no problem. Anyway, the point of all of that is that I woke up this morning with a sense of peace, ready to stop fighting, ready to move on, and I'm so grateful for that. Thank you.
Oh, what a great way to end the last shares. Thank you, Donna. I apologize again for cutting that short. And now we're going to close the meeting. So we will close from the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, good morning again. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you'll surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Mm-hmm.